Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord uses weakness. As I've said many times, that's all I got. But that's all any of us have, truly, when we really realize it. You know, Steve mentioned that he had some thoughts that he felt like the Lord wanted him to give out, and I appreciate the simplicity of it. All that Christ is and all that he's done for us, we have everything we need in him. And it is a process that we're going through, undergoing today. And I mentioned to Steve that I had had some thoughts too, and most likely they were for me, which is certainly true. And I was very willing to sit there and listen. So if there's anybody that really you got something burning, you're welcome. But I'll go ahead and share one I had. All scripture ties together, and even though it may seem like I'm going to approach this from a slightly different angle, I don't think so. You know, Steve mentioned becoming conscious of needs. Is that not a part of the process? How do we make progress if we don't think we need it? So anyway, my thoughts came from the beginning of 1 John. And John is writing to believers, probably in Ephesus, in that region of the world. Toward the end of his life, he ministered in that region before the book of Revelation was written. And John makes the point at the beginning that what he's going to share is not based on hearsay. He didn't go to school, didn't read it in the book. He had walked with the Lord. He had had a personal hands-on encounter with divine life. He knew what he was saying was real, and that's what he wanted to impart and to help us to understand what that means and how that plays out. And so he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. Now, you remember what John wrote in the beginning of his gospel? In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. There was something that God wanted to make known in among human society, and it was the life that literally was in his son. It wasn't a new religion. It wasn't a bunch of theology. It was, hey, this is my life here. You got a certain kind of thing you call life here, but this is what's real. This is what I want you to know about. Okay? We proclaim to you the eternal life, the only life that's capable of surviving and living it forever, all right, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now, so why? We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. Now, a lot of this I've repeated, I guess, in the past, but fellowship is something we think of as an activity. Like we're going to, a bunch of people get together, we're going to have fellowship. And basically we're sharing an activity, we're communicating with one another, and we're expressing our like for one another and all those kinds of things. But this is deeper than that. You know, my hand and my two hands have fellowship with one another. Okay? It wouldn't be good if they went knocking each other. They have fellowship with each other. But the fellowship is not simply an activity. It's a relationship, isn't it? They both are part of me, and they are connected to me. There is a life that is shared. So you can have fellowship in a sense. We can have fellowship today with Brother Kumar, even though he's in India. But we share a common spirit, and the same spirit that is here among us is with him today. It's probably evening time there. He's having an evening service somewhere. So, Lord, bless him. Strengthen, pour out your spirit upon him. But there's a living connection that God has established, that God wants to make real to our hearts so that we see ourselves not just as a collection of people who share a particular religious tradition or happen to meet in the same building and, you know one another and like one another, but there's a living connection. God, if God lives in you and God lives in me, we are connected as much as the different parts of my body are connected, okay? And again, it's not just a connection. You know, you could look at a cadaver. You know what a cadaver is? Dead body that they may lay out and study or whatever, or it's in the morgue. It's connected. But there ain't no life. What God wants is a living, operating life shared. It's the life of God shared, okay? So that's what he's getting at, all right? And we're telling you all this so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is not just a human thing. This actually connects us to the God of all gods and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom he has done everything and provided everything. Praise God. Don't you see these connections? We're the body of Christ, okay? We're not the head. He's the head. But we are meant to be connected to the head to get our instructions from the head to walk in harmony with the head and the head's purpose. We're not to operate independently. There's a living life, a fellowship. That's what fellowship is really about, okay? It's a life that is lived out, all right? Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So what John is getting at here is what this relationship that we have with one another and with God, what is it supposed to look like? How does that work out in our human lives in this world? All right, so that's really, this is the foundation of that. Without this, all you've got is just a religion and a whole lot of doctrines and ideas. This is a better way to get through life than that is. Well, we're not trying to compete with anybody's philosophy here. We have one source of truth and life, and that is God himself and what he has revealed through his Son. It's either that or it's something else. All right? And I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this, and then I'm going to go back through. This actually will quote part of what Steve quoted at one point. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. What a comparison. Light and darkness. And so the message, first of all, is let's talk about this one with whom we're supposed to have fellowship. He is light, and there's no darkness at all. You know, in human society, we'll talk about somebody and say, yeah, they're a good guy. They're not perfect, but they're basically a good guy. Well, God is a whole lot different than that. He is absolutely unadulterated purity in every possible sense. There is nothing hidden in him, all right? Everything is clear. And that is what God wants to bring us into harmony with. If we're going to be in fellowship with somebody who is pure, obviously there are implications as to how that affects us and what he is doing in us, okay? And so that's the beginning. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Okay, not the smallest amount. So the immediate obvious implication of that is what he follows with. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So you have this dichotomy, these two opposing forces, if you will, light and darkness. And it's obvious, it should be obvious that the world is in darkness. That comes out in many places in the Scripture. You know, I was thinking about darkness, and we are prone to think that darkness is simply the absence of light. But is that all of it? You know, I remember one time Sue and I visited one of the caves out in western North Carolina. It may be the only one you can actually get into, I don't know. But they had a walkway built into the place, a place where a guide could take you kind of back into the cave pretty good, and there were lights strung along it. And one of the things that the guide wanted us to experience was darkness. So we got back in there, and he said, all right, every light out. Whoa. Being in a dark room is nothing compared to being in total blackness. Man, that was scary for a bit there. I couldn't imagine being in a place like that and not having a source of light to even find your way around the cave you'd be feeling. So anyway, of course, it wasn't really that long. We had the lights back on, but that was an experience. But you know, that's not what this is talking about. Darkness is not the absence of light. It is the presence of an evil force. You know, there would be a difference in being in an environment like a cave or like a room where there's no light. That's one thing. But if that room is filled up with black smoke that literally fills the atmosphere of that room, that's a whole different kind of darkness. That's what this world is about. That's the world you and I live in. You remember when Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this present world, the spirit that now works in the... Anyway, I'm confusing a couple of scriptures. But it talks about this present darkness, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Folks, there is a power that absolutely envelops human society. It blinds their eyes. It blocks their ability to even see the truth. And yet the darkness of this world masquerades as light. Satan says, this is the way you realize your dreams and your potential and your destiny. Go this direction and it will bring you there. And he fills the minds of men with their illusions of what they supposedly are seeing and what's worth chasing and the ideas that are worth embracing and all of that. We see it everywhere. There is a real power that is at work. And so it should be obvious, of course, if somebody says, oh, I've got this relationship with God, but my life is just, you know, like the world, and I'm living according to its values, obviously that's not right. There's a deception going on there. But John isn't writing to unbelievers, is he? And this is kind of what got my attention. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. You suppose that might affect us a little bit? Do you think that God's light is a good thing? Oh, yeah.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.